Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my co-host James Tapeleg, Grayling, and I break down the 8 games since our last show. We also talk about the pile of injuries that is your 2010-2011 Avalanche so far. We describe the night when the Avs played a little game of who'd like to play goaltender, and we also discuss yet one more comeback for everyone's favorite Swedish-born Avalanche great. Those topics and much more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 58 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans. Welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche. I'm your host, Jay Veen, here once again with my co-host, James Tapeleg Grayling. James, how are you?
I'm good. How are you, Jay?
I'm great. We're doing the podcast. How bad can I be?
Well, just remember, safety first. Don't keep those headphones on too tight, or you could get a concussion.
I could get a concussion doing a lot of things since we're talking about the Avalanche. Oh, interesting. On the other night, Colby Cohn was sick. He had an illness. I guess they kept him out of the third period. And Jibble Scribbits on Twitter said he got a concussion as he threw up into the toilet. He hit his hand on the toilet and got a concussion. So, we're coming up with all kinds of great ways for people to get hurt. It's been a rough ride, literally. We'll talk about that in a second. But episode number 58. We'll go over jersey numbers. There are no jersey number 58s for the Colorado Avalanche in their entire history. So we'll get creative. We'll do jersey numbers 2 times jersey numbers 29. And for you math majors, that equals 58. So number 2s for the Avalanche, Ken Klee, Sylvain Lefebvre, current assistant coach for the Avalanche, and Brian Muir. I don't really have any thoughts about any of those guys. Any fond memories of any of those guys, Tapeleg?
Nope. Who? What?
Are you talking to me? Ken Klee played. How's it going? You know, we started a couple minutes ago. That's right.
What?
81 games played for Ken Klee in 06-07, and a couple of his jerseys during that season are up for auction right now. So I'm looking at those because he's a big guy, so he has big jerseys, and I like Avalanche jerseys.
His brother actually played in, I believe it was in the with the Rocky Mountain Rage down in Broomfield.
I did not know that.
Well, that's why you have me along.
That's right. That's what we're here for together. Lefebvre, obviously, with the Avalanche. Brian Muir, Stanley Cup winner. He was with that 2000-2001 team. So he's got a ring. Let's do 29s. Eric Messier. I never realized how long he played for the Avalanche. He was with the Avalanche for 7 seasons. 385 games played between 96-97 and 2002-2003. 69 playoff games as well in there. So I never realized his resume was as impressive as it is with the Avalanche.
That kind of speaks to how much, you know, like how much the other stars kind of shined and blotted out the other people.
Yeah, you know? That was their goal. They're just there to make everybody else irrelevant.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's almost like the Pittsburgh Penguins in a way. It's the you know, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, and some other schlubs.
Some other dudes. But yeah,
making,
7 years.
Making $500,000 a year.
But Messier and Mike Keane are those type of guys where they kill the penalties and they do the rough work so the big stars can do what they do. So you got to appreciate him. Ryan Stoa last year played 12 games with the Avalanche, 2 goals and an assist. A ton of call-ups, which we'll talk about here in a second. And he hasn't been one of them. I've even heard he's been a healthy scratch down in Lake Erie. Kind of a big disappointment for all the hype that he, came to the NHL or at least professional hockey with. And we'll have to wait and see on Ryan Stoa. It's kind of a make or break time, I guess, with him. James and I were talking a little bit about this before the show, but a number 29 that not a whole lot of people know about is Scott Parker. When he returned to the team in 06-07, when the Sharks traded him back to the Avalanche, he wore number 29 because O.C. Vananen was number 27 at the time, and so that's what he did. I have one of those game-worn jerseys when he came back and wore 29, so there is proof. It's for real.
You put that one up on your blog, didn't you?
I did, and I can definitely relink that. Heck, you know, we're always looking for chances to relink something, but I will do that. A great neck reinforcement, you know, ready for him to start fights with people, but some really cool features on that jersey that I hadn't seen on a lot of other jerseys. The Enforcer jerseys are pretty cool. So Scott Parker, 51 fights while he was with the Avalanche, 6'5", 240. I'm not taking him on. He's mean. probably still is pretty mean, too. I don't know. But the Sharks traded him back to the Avalanche for a sixth-round pick, which the Avalanche eventually, I don't know, somehow reacquired, and that sixth-round pick became Jonas Hollas. So there you go. A lot of interesting connections there. So I've been watching the games lately, and the announcers are going with Hollas. I don't know. The original pronunciation in the guide was Hollas. I don't know what to do with his name anymore. Number six for your Colorado Avalanche. That's what we'll go with.
You know, the way the season is going, we're going to see a 58 eventually up here. It's going to happen.
24-man roster, and I tweeted, watch us dress 48 because we can. You know,
actually, that was kind of a fun meme. Jay and I were doing kind of the slogans for this year's Colorado Avalanche with all the injuries that we've been seeing.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was. There were some. I think you had a few good zingers, like your 2010-11 Colorado Avalanche. It's time to get OSHA involved.
That was the one that kind of. All I needed was like a retweet on that and someone to reply to it, and then I just kind of went off, just hoping it all the rest did as well, and they didn't. But that's what I was thinking. We mentioned OSHA at work every once in a while, just as a joke, and the Avalanche's roster these days made me think of it. Daniel Tarnqvist also. A number 29 in Avalanche history. Sorry. Let's go back to injuries, though.
There's a lot.
As many as 10 Avalanche players out at one time in between our last show and this show. Here, I've got the list. Adam Foote, now back, so he can wear my jersey. David Jones is now back. The thing that I worry about with Keith Jones, you did that last show too. That's what we do. David Jones, it's never one injury. It's always little things in a lot of different places. So this one was, I noticed during one of the games I was at, he was laboring, like his hand was hurting, and it was his hand, and he was out for a game and then came back. So David Jones is now back and shooting at a 23.1 shooting percentage and has, let's see, what is it? It's like... I don't know. I've got the stat in here, and we'll talk about it a little bit later. But, man, when that guy plays, he scores goals. That's what he does. So it's essential that he stays healthy. David Krejci is jaw. Kyle Komiski, Kyle Quincy, Peter Mueller, all concussions. David Vander Gulick, a torn MCL. He'll be out indefinitely. TJ Gagliardi, a broken right wrist. Ryan Wilson was hit by a puck during the New York Rangers game that led to a blood clot, I guess. He'll be back sometime very soon. And Craig Anderson, his knee, obviously, we'll talk about the game where that happened. He'll be back in a week or so from what I've heard. So, James, how's your concussion?
I feel a little woozy just looking at the screen and all the pretty lights. It makes me forget who I am.
Yeah.
And which side of this is, which net I'm actually shooting at.
You are out indefinitely then.
Well, you know, why actually call it a career yet? Because you know, with all these with all these injuries, why not get like somebody who? Why not talk about somebody who like you know could come into the team and help out and you know who never gets injured like Peter Forsberg?
Put people in the seats. This is why James is my partner, ladies and gentlemen.
Transitions, folks.
Did you see the segue? Outstanding. Pumping the fist here.
We've already Forsberg watch 2010-2011 is already you know well underway, and you know with all the already our good friend Adrian Dater has been stoking those fires Peter Forsberg and whether or not he's going to come back to the Avalanche and come back to the NHL. And you know this Avalanche team right now with all these concussions, they're starting to make Peter Forsberg look resilient at this point. It's getting ridiculous.
When's the last time you heard Peter Forsberg and resilient? I guess you would say
it's
he's
a
resilient,
sliding
but,
yes. scale. It's a bell curve, and he is on the high end right now. The way that this Avalanche team
absolutely. Is so Adrian Dater a couple days ago posted that Peter Forsberg is going to make one more comeback, and if all of us fans drank on when Adrian Dater mentioned Peter Forsberg, we'd be on the injured list because we would have fallen down and had gotten concussions.
Yeah.
So I don't usually like to talk about this a ton until something starts happening. The comeback's not going to be in the NHL. He's going to try in the Swedish league and see how it goes, and then we'll go from there. But it's kind of I'm like that with draft picks as well. I'm not going to slam anybody. I'm not going to get real excited. I'm not going to get down. When he gets closer to making a comeback to the NHL, we'll talk about it then. He's made it clear at one point that he's only interested in playing for the Avalanche, but you know, who knows with Peter Forsberg?
We'll see. I'm sure that that's the case, and we can ask the Predators and the Flyers about that as well.
Exactly. And yeah, both of them aren't. I don't think they were ever that excited about Peter Forsberg. You know, nobody's going to be as excited about Peter Forsberg as Colorado Avalanche fans, and that totally makes sense to me, though, too.
Unless you write about the Colorado Avalanche, and then you're really going to be excited.
Really, even other media guys are making fun of Dater for every time he brings up Forsberg, but. When he does, he gets what he needs, and that's that. So,
well, it's like this guy yesterday who was in the Toronto Maple Leafs game that got called up. Kadri was just
that's right.
I believe that's how it was pronounced, Kadri. And he and all you could do was Twitter was just full of Kadri this, Kadri that, Kadri this, Kadri that, and it was like That's what it's like to be an Avalanche fan, and when Peter Forsberg's name comes,
there you go.
You know,
yeah.
And frankly, you know, good for Forsberg if he thinks he can, but boy, it hasn't worked out yet. You know, there's only so much a body can take, and you know, for as skilled as he was, he threw the body around, and that was one of the great things about his play, and it takes its toll.
If it didn't work, a couple of seasons ago, I doubt it's going to work now. But yeah. You always got to root for the guy, and everybody wants to live in the past, which is okay in certain points. And I think we'd all love to see him back with the Avalanche one more time, including the organization, because I know if he ever makes it back and people find out about it and the Avalanche announce that he'll play a certain night, there's going to be a couple more thousand people there just to watch Peter Forsberg. So you can't blame the organization in times like this where attendance is really, really down. They're actually like prorating the tickets now. I get emails for the tickets and the, for the Rangers game. It'll be Friday. This upcoming Friday, the tickets are more expensive because there's going to be more people there. But for a couple other games that they have been pushing, it's $20 or $30 less per ticket. So it's interesting what they're doing. Anywhere from like 12 to 13,000 people there every night. And I don't know. It's kind of a rough time because people want to go watch the Nuggets. Even the Colorado Rapids are doing well now, so people are getting excited about soccer. And we don't need to talk about the Denver Broncos. But you can't blame the organization, I guess. The organization has not mentioned Peter Forsberg. There's a long road before that. So,
and that's the thing. What are we really talking about here? We're talking about reports. Waiting to see what actually happens will be. Yeah,
I'll get excited.
We'll just wait and see what happens.
Absolutely,
I'm just excited that there might be a guy who doesn't have a concussion, even if he doesn't have 2 feet. At least he doesn't have a concussion.
There you go. A lot of concussions going around. Yeah.
With Anderson, he's just out with a knee concussion.
Yes,
we can call Gagliardi a severe wrist concussion.
Wrist concussion. Absolutely.
It's just all concussions at this point.
Absolutely, and let's talk about Craig Anderson injury. Anderson's injury, game number 9, Tuesday, October 26th. At the Canucks, the Avalanche lose this one in overtime, 4-3. But in the pregame, and this was one of my tweets as well, is that, let's see, it was 2002, 2010, 2011 Avalanche. We can't even keep our starting goaltender healthy on his night off. he hurts his right knee in warmups. It was nothing. It was kind of fluky, but it wasn't anything that he shouldn't have been doing or anything like that. He's out there late because he wasn't going to play anyways. But an interesting situation for the Avalanche because they don't have a third goaltender on the roster, and nobody ever said who that goaltender would have been if Peter Budaj had gotten hurt during the game. James, I've watched a lot of hockey over the years. I have never seen anything like that.
Let's see. The only other time that I can really think of it was, it was a similar situation, but not exactly the same, was when the Washington Capitals had suited up.
Right.
I think it was their video guy. Goalie.
It wasn't even that. I think it was a guy that was a practice guy.
He's actually with the organization.
He was
like new media guy, and so he actually suited up. He had his jersey and everything, number 80. And in fact, I'm sure, considering how many jersey fouls and how, people in Washington, D.C. will drop a dime on a brand new jersey just to make a gag out of it for him, wear it once. I'm sure there were a couple of number 80 jerseys that sold pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
Immediately.
I guess he had worked out with the team. Like when their goaltenders needed some time or they're waiting for a guy to come up, but somebody gets hurt and they didn't have the time to get the guy. And Yeah, it was close to this to the Avalanche situation, but obviously the Capitals had enough time to dress somebody. The Avalanche didn't, and there was a lot of speculation as far as who would have been the goaltender. And the press after the game was asking Joe Sacco who would have played if Budaj would have gotten hurt, and he said, "Seriously, I don't know."
Yeah, that's the thing, that these things happen. It's not like, and if you're at a if you're this was an away game or this was a home game.
This was an away game.
This was an away game. Yep. We've seen it where with home games, somebody gets a very quick call from like a college or something,
right.
And so it makes it a lot easier. And especially if you're an organization that has your has a very local call-up situation, like let's say, for example, the LA Kings, they have their ECHL minor league affiliate within like 40 miles
right.
of the Staples Center. So
the Colorado Rockies minor league baseball team is in Colorado Springs. It's an hour drive.
Yep.
and that guy's there. Good point.
Yeah,
good point.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think they've had to do that. They had to do that with the Vancouver Canucks not that long ago. And, a college guy basically sat on the bench for a game because of that. But, that's just the way it goes. That's hockey, I guess. It's not something that you really want to see happen. But you could imagine that if somebody had run Budaj and injured him in that game, that person would probably be limping off the ice.
Yeah, I'd imagine. But what a cool experience as that goaltender, as the number, I forgot the guy's name, but as the number 80 for the Capitals. I mean, you're working out with a team is one thing, but you're on an NHL bench during the game, and you you're one injury away from playing in the NHL when you were sitting at a desk probably earlier that day just doing what you usually do.
And if I remember correctly, he was only on the bench for like one period. They were getting somebody...
Yeah.
Up from Hershey, but they had to wait,
right.
It just wasn't the timing was bad or something. Anyways.
Either way, what an interesting story. So all night long people are worried about Budaj. I'm kind of wincing every time a shot goes at him. Not because I'm worried about Budaj as a whole. We'll talk about Budaj throughout the show. I'm just like I was kind of rooting for him to get hurt just to see what would happen because stuff like that doesn't happen very often. So the Avalanche lost this one 4-3 in overtime. Mason Raymond doing his best Ryan O'Reilly impression at the end of the game. I loved your tweet, too, James. James is at Tape Leg, by the way, on Twitter. Guess who's going behind the net next game? Wasn't that about what you said?
I think so.
Yeah.
who's actually making the move behind the net rather than
yes.
rather than in front.
Jonas Holas or Hulas learning NHL lessons.
It was a mistake.
On the fly.
It was a mistake.
Absolutely.
Right off the face off.
They happen.
Cuts in front of the net instead of behind, and basically somebody knocks his stick, knocking the puck in. Yeah, and right past Budaj.
There's your
game. And in fact, one person near and dear to me said, "Well, why wasn't Budaj ready?" I was like, "Because that isn't what you would do in hockey."
No, he's probably
what are you
going
be ready
what
for?
The hell? Oh, it's in. Jonas, go behind the. No, crap. John Michael Lyles' assist on Daniel Winnick's second period goal sets an NHL record for assists to begin this straight games with an assist to begin the season. As a defenseman. So congratulations to John Michael Lyles setting NHL records. And congratulations to Randy Kroger, our Air Force buddy stationed in Japan, who bought his jersey. So he has a...
Hi, Randy.
He has a... Yeah, definitely. What's up, Randy? He bought John Michael Lyles' jersey. He pre-ordered his jersey just like I did with the Adam Foote, and he's got a historical jersey on his hands. So congratulations to him. Game number 9, Tuesday, October 26th, the Avalanche lose at Vancouver. In overtime. Game number 10, Thursday, October 28th at the Calgary Flames. The Avalanche win a wild one. 11 goals in this one. They win this one 6-5. Altitude Sports and Entertainment doing some cool classic game stuff. And Adam Foote's return to Calgary when he got traded back to the Avalanche and he joined the team on the bench during the, I think it was the first period. Something I'll always remember as an Avalanche fan. James, were you watching that game?
I was watching that game.
Man, that was cool. I don't think Kyle Komiski had played with Foote before. It was still kind of young at that point, but I remember Lyles kind of looking down the bench and just kind of giving him a little head nod, and I think he played something like 20 minutes that night. He just kind of looked down the bench and waved and said, "I'm back, guys. How's it going? Let's play some hockey." So Very, very cool. Let's see what else we want to cover. Chris Stewart, his second career hat trick. I lost interest and was feeling pretty down. 11:43 in the second period when the Avalanche go down 3-0 on Matt Stajan's goal, and I just thought the game was pretty much over. They were looking flat or whatever, and then Stewie took over. He scored two goals in 30 seconds, and I don't know. He just took over. That was it. The Avalanche win October 28th against the Calgary Flames. 6-5. Game number 11, Saturday, October 30th, the Avalanche against the Blue Jackets. They win this one 5-1 at home. David Jones records his fourth goal of the season from Milan Hayduk and Scott Hannon. That's your buddy, Tape Leg. He had an assist. Didn't you even say he had a shot on net? We were tweeting during this game, too.
Yeah.
Man,
if it actually goes on net, it's kind of shocking for Hannon. But
Hannon, I just don't notice him. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but he doesn't do enough to get noticed. And I guess as an NHL defenseman, I'd rather have you not be noticed than be out of position a lot. So
I can never not notice him in a way. It's like his it's mostly his skating style. It's not because I'm searching him out. It's because he's got this low. He looks like a pug out there. He kind of looks like a small, thick dog, the way he gets down and the way he skates. And then he's the king of the no-look pass.
That's right.
It's like if he looks in a certain direction and then looks away to another direction, you know he's passing to that first play.
You guys
always does.
You guys see how it's so easy to rile up Tape like just a little bit. You just mentioned Scott Hannon and he just gets all angry.
What are you saying, Hannon?
on that goal,
shot
by the
corner,
way, in the
shot
first
on corner. sorry, you were saying?
No, you're all right. On that goal in the first period, Milan Hayduk's 345th point at Pepsi Center. I don't know why they keep track of that. But notable to that, he took over that lead from Joe Sakic. And in my notes, I said, when you pass Joe Sakic in pretty much anything, you're doing pretty well. So congratulations to Milan Hayduk. 27 seconds into the second period, the Avalanche get a minute 19, 5-on-3 advantage. And they take advantage. Chris Stewart with his fourth goal in two games, a power play goal from Paul Stastny and Milan Hayduk at 50 seconds. And then, let's see, right after that, no, it was 10 minutes into the period, David Lifetin, rookie Avalanche defenseman, scores his first NHL goal from Daniel for the Winnick. I'll mention Winnick later. You can use yours. All right. Tape leg, we're cool with that. That was from Brandon Yip as well. 44 seconds later, Paul Stastny, the goal of the week, is voted on by Avalanche fans. The Avalanche lead 4-0, and Steve Mason gets pulled. And Steve Mason, for as good as he looks against everybody else, the Avalanche just have his number. Cody McLeod is second, 6:06 into the third period, and the Avalanche win. They lose the shutout later in the period on a power play goal by Derek Brassard, but the Avalanche win this one. Peter Budaj, looking as good as he needs to be, saves 33 of 34 shots. Thoughts on Peter Budaj, James? I know you haven't watched a ton. You haven't been able to watch a ton of Avalanche hockey, but Peter Budaj, everybody freaked when Craig Anderson goes down, but Peter Budaj, he's been solid lately. He's given the Avalanche a chance to win, and that's all you can ask for.
When that 6-5 game against Calgary was scary, to say the least. Looking at that and going, oh my goodness, are they going to have to, just turn on the offense to win these games? And yet, every goaltender has those games. Even Anderson has those games. Obviously, Brodeur is having those games. Marc-Andre Fleury's having those games. Everybody's having those games. It's just that, anytime that Budaj's in net, he's under the microscope, fair or unfair, it's just the case. And Anderson's going to get a free pass on a game like that, and Budaj isn't. And no matter what happens, that's going to be Budaj's burden in a way. And, but he got that out of his system, I feel, and moving forward, moving into the next games, not bad.
I mean, like I said, he's good enough. And the thing that I think Avalanche fans forget is that if he's never been an NHL starter and the starter gets hurt, he's in brand new territory. This isn't brand new territory for Peter Budaj.
No.
He's used to that mindset. Being a backup and playing once every 2 or 3 weeks, that's one thing. Knowing you're going to play every night as the backup is something totally different. And he's handled it pretty well. He's had his moments. He had an interesting goal last night. But for the most part, I think he went through almost 100 straight minutes without giving up an even strength goal. He's giving the team a chance to win. All the people that that were freaking out about Craig Anderson getting hurt aren't giving Budai the credit that I think he deserves. But I think when Craig Anderson comes back, I think things will obviously be better. But he's done a good job. The Avalanche have also done a pretty good job scoring goals, but you know that's why it's a team game. But I've been
well. And the other problem is that you know look at the team that's playing in front of him. Budai is doing the exact same thing that we're doing when we're watching a game. He sees these numbers and goes, "Who the heck is that?" I mean, he's got Cohen out there, Shattenkirk out there. This is not the six, not even close to the six defensemen they started.
No, it's not.
The season started with so. It's a different ball game in front of him as well as he's learning those you know those people's quirks and he's you know having to step up with all of that. It's you know that, how much do you want him to do? He can't do everything, but at the same time he's doing quite well with all the with all the change that's happening in front of him.
If he could do everything, he'd be a starter. But I mean, considering all the injuries, all the new guys, I'm sure he's having to do a lot of teaching and talking as well. But he's done very well. So.
And he stole the job from you know Jose Theodore. I mean, I could steal the job from Jose Theodore.
Ooh,
you know, I mean, burn. Miroslav Satan could steal the job from Jose Theodore. But you know,
yep.
It's like it you could steal a job faster from Jose Theodore than you can a pizza slice from Martin Brodeur. Did I say that? Anyways,
you
the point
totally
being,
said that out loud.
I didn't say that out loud. But the point being that you know, I mean, Budai does get a bad rap. He always gets a bad rap. It's kind of you know, it's almost like a mantra, and he has to keep proving himself over and over and over again. But you know, if the Avs are winning games, that's the thing that matters.
Yeah.
It's not how many go in. It's how many more you got than them. You know, as long as you get one more goal than the other guys, you did pretty good.
Yep. And he's done great. So credit to Peter Budai, and hopefully Absolutely. He can hold down the fort and play well enough to keep the Avalanche in things until Craig Anderson is back. Interesting, after the game, Kyle Keefe was interviewing the first star of the game, Paul Stastny, and mentioned that you guys are now at that time tied with the Chicago Blackhawks for goals scored. And Stastny just starts smiling. He looks at Kyle Keefe. He says, "That's what we do." You know, and it was interesting. I think Kyle Keefe and Paul Stastny, you know, hang out a little bit off the ice, but it was cool to see him having so much fun you know, and they also started talking about Halloween costumes, and Stastny said he was going to be Sue Sylvester from Glee. Are you a Glee fan at all?
I am not.
But yeah, that's kind of a scary. She's the mean lady that wears the tracksuits all the time.
So
it was just interesting to see him kind of loosen up there a little bit. Hockey players
don't. Does she have all her teeth?
She does. So he would have had to put his little toothpicks in during. I don't know. Maybe the tooth would have been.
He doesn't even like to wear that thing. He just likes to.
Oh, he hates it. And I was watching a thing with Ryan O'Reilly, and he and Julie Brownman on Altitude were going on a roller coaster, and he had to take his tooth out and put it in his little green case. Oh, I'm sure the guys are just killing him on that one. But fake teeth and hockey players, an interesting mix. But the Avalanche win Saturday, October 30th. I think it's the Blue Jackets 5-1, and they wore their blueberry jerseys that night.
Blueberry
in the house. They played pretty well, so maybe the blueberry curse is over. My wife had noticed too. She was watching the game just a little bit, and she looked at the jerseys. Wow, those look a little smaller. Are those like size extra medium? So I thought that was funny, but
extra medium.
But the blueberries are back. I'm not quite sure when they're going to wear them again. Tape Blake was jabbing me a little bit, saying they should wear them for good. So my foot jersey's not in action anymore, but I don't think that's going to happen. Sorry, dude.
I hope not.
Game number 12, Thursday, November 4th, the Avalanche against the Vancouver Canucks. They lose this one 3-1, and they look like a team that it was decimated by injuries and had four straight days off. They were just flat in this one. The Canucks scored a power play goal in each period. Ryan Kessler, Henrik Sedin, and Rafi Torres early in each period. The Canucks were 3-for-4 on the power play during this game. David Vandergullick scored his first career NHL goal from Cody McLeod and Philippe Dupuis at 16:52 of the third period. But kind of ugly. Peter Budai, 33 saves on this one. Not necessarily his fault. Kyle Quincy, Daniel Winnick, and Cody McLeod. The offensive highlights for the Avalanche, 4 shots for each of those guys. And even Matt Duchene was benched during this game in the second period. Joe Sacco sent in his message to the youngster. He has struggled lately. You know, we went through this last year a little bit. Kind of trying to make too much happen and trying to get a little too cute with the puck, and Sacco does not like that. So
no.
He benched him. And on top of all the injuries, Duchesne was benched, and it was a real blah game. Thursday, November 4th, the Avalanche lose the Canucks at Pepsi Center 3-1. And then I was at both of these. Saturday, November 6th, against the Stars, the Avalanche just blast them 5-0. Pretty much the exact opposite from Thursday night's game. And Joe Sacco, throughout his tenure here, has really done a good job of making sure the team does not play blah for an extended amount of time. So I got to give credit to the team's young leadership and also to Joe Sacco for setting that precedent. And they do not play badly for a long time. They battle and they do well. 5-0, Kevin Porter in the first, Milan Hayduk and Philippe Dupuy with his first NHL goal, a shorthanded goal.
Dupuy.
That's right. And you want his jersey? Is that what you said?
I want his jersey. I like the guy. I really like the guy.
I agree. He scores his first NHL goal on a great patient play on a 2-on-1 shorthanded. Shorthanded first NHL goals. Keep that in mind. I'll talk about that here in a second. Kevin Porter scores his second goal of the game, 5:39 into the third period, and Brandon Yip, 31 seconds later, scores on a sweet pass from Matt Duchesne and tips it over, who was in net for the Stars? Andrew Raycroft.
That would be Andrew Raycroft. And I was going to ask you, does it really count as a first NHL goal if you scored against Andrew Raycroft?
Ouch. You know, he looked good. After the 5-0, he absolutely robbed Kevin Shattenkirk, and he had another couple great saves to keep it close, but he wasn't getting much
clock,
help.
A broken clock is right.
Twice a day.
But, you know, that doesn't mean that, the thing that cracks me up is that here we are, it's like, again with this, the goalie, I'm going to play against my former team and blah, blah, blah. And didn't that happen as soon as Jose Theodore went to the Capitals and the Avalanche schooled the Capitals that game?
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. Guys, maybe they're pressing a little bit. I don't know. I know these pro guys, as much as they jump around, I've heard McNabb talk about it a little bit. He said, when you get traded by a team or a team lets you go, you don't ever want to see that team win again. And I guess I can understand. I've never been there myself, obviously, but he struggled. He had a hard time.
Well, Raycroft's going to have that with a lot of teams eventually.
Yeah, he wasn't getting a lot of help either.
No, and that's the thing. You look at this, look at the Stars, and look at their goaltending. They've got Kari Lehtinen now, and Andrew Raycroft, and as much as people were happy to see Turco go because nothing's ever good enough. Well, guess what, guys? You be careful what you ask for, because it hasn't gotten any better.
It's pretty strange to see the Dallas Stars without Marty Turco there. I like Turco a lot. I know people have their feelings about him, but I like his personality. I like the way he plays, and it's weird to see the Stars without him.
Love his puck handling.
Yeah, love absolutely. Colby Cohen makes his NHL debut in this one. Great size, mixes it up a little bit. Loved it. Peter Budaj, his first shutout of the season. He had 31 saves and is now second on the Avalanche's franchise list in career wins. Passes David Abisher. Abisher seemed like he was here for a while and played a lot of games and won a lot of games, but he didn't. So Peter Budaj with his, let's see, I don't know how many wins that was, but he has a long way.
I'm going with 5 millionth.
Yeah, maybe 4.5 million. That would make about as much sense. Patrick Waugh leads the. I know Peter Budaj has less than 100. Patrick Waugh leads the franchise with 262 wins. So Peter Budaj is going to have to pick up his game or hope Craig Anderson gets hurt a little bit more. In this game, plenty of offensive notables. Just want to mention these real quick. Matt Duchesne, 2 assists and 3 shots. Philippe Dupuy, a goal, 2 assists and 5 shots. Kevin Porter, 2 goals on 2 shots. That's a really good shooting percentage. Brandon Yip, a goal, assist, and 4 shots, and Milan Hayduk, a goal and assist. So offensive firepower coming from the Avalanche. And also I wanted to mention Steve Ott. We all know him as the thorn in the side that scores goals every once in a while that really pisses you off. But there was a scrum near the net. Peter Budaj fell down, lost his stick. The whistle was blown, and Steve Ott picked up Peter Budaj's stick and kind of held it for him until Budaj was ready and handed him the stick. So you don't see hockey players do that very often, but I kind of like that.
You know
that
what? It was Steve Ott. He probably said something like, try and keep a hold of this, or something jerky.
Peter Budaj kind of took his stick and he tapped him on the shin guard with it. So I don't think, even if he did, if I was Peter Budaj, I would have tapped him on the shin guard anyways and just said, yeah, go ahead. and do whatever you need to do. But
watch your.
That's right. That's right. I noticed that. I thought it was pretty cool. You don't see hockey players, no matter what reason they're doing it. You don't see them do that very often. So whenever I see it, it's kind of a big deal. Saturday, November 6th, the Avalanche beat the Stars at Pepsi Center 5-0. And going back to James's point, game 14, Tuesday, November 9th, against the Calgary Flames, the Avalanche loses one at Pepsi Center 4-2. Here's two thirds of your offensive lineup for the defense for the Colorado Avalanche. Jonas Hollas, 9 games experience. David Lifton, 6 games experience. Kevin Shattenkirk, 2 games experience. And Colby Gowan, arousing 1 game of experience underneath their belt. So that's two thirds of the defensive lineup in front of Peter Budaj that particular night. Very, very interesting. The Avalanche lose this one. Brandon Yip is fourth of the year on the power play. And then it's kind of back and forth a little bit. The Avalanche struggle towards the end. A couple injuries in this one. David Vander Gulick, this is when he blew his MCL. And TJ Gagliardi in the second period broke his wrist. They both second period injuries. And the Avalanche were just worn down at the end of the game. Their bench was... throw one of your tweets out, tape. Like mine was, I think their bench looked as short as George Parros' career with the Avalanche.
Oh, geez, I forgot about those.
What did you say?
I'd have to look something up.
I had a Ty Domi reference. It looked like a pickup game. The Avalanche just got tired.
Ty Domi was pretty good.
Yeah, the Avalanche just got tired, and you can't blame them. They're missing a ton of guys. And then, you know, one of my large scale tweets was 2010-2011 Colorado Avalanche. We have to call up guys for guys that we called up because they get hurt too. And that was Vander Gulick. He's going to be out for a while. One of the guys that was called up and he gets hurt. So Avalanche loses 1-4-2.
The Avs bench is looking like an early season Devils
there
bench.
There you go. So that's short. There you go. Nice. That's my partner, folks. Yeah. Yes.
It's so short. The bench is so short it has to stand on Darren Pang's shoulders to see over the board.
See, that's my partner. He'll be here all season, folks. I love it. Nice work. Tuesday, November 9th. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, the one that you really liked was, I guess, when the Avalanche came up with their It's All About the A campaign. They figured A stood for ambulance.
Ambulance is on call.
It's all about the M, the monsters. It's all about the IR.
It's all about the. It's all about the injuries. It's
sorry, that's tooting my own.
No, horn. You're good. Hey, that's why we're partners. I love it. That was great.
Empty net goal in that game sealed the deal by Glengarry Glenn Cross. That's a literary reference, people. We keep it smart around.
Yes,
here.
We do.
The boy, that second period sure was a lot of. There were a lot of penalties.
There was. I looked at the sheet. I didn't realize there was that many. And in the third period, there was basically nothing.
Cohen was going after Gindlach quite a bit.
He did, and I'm not quite sure whether it's just Cohen being Cohen and Cohen or, Cohen? You know, Gindlach was the guy that hit Gagliardi. And it wasn't exactly from you know, Gagliardi turned away from him by the boards, and that's when he broke his wrist. And, I mean, it's Jerome McGinley. He's going to finish his check. You probably shouldn't turn away from him. So a little fault on both. So I'm not sure if Cohen, at the end of the second period, there was a nice little scrum, whether that was because Aginla had hit Gagliardi or whether it was just him trying to be edgy, stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know.
And yet, who stays out of the penalty box? It's Cohen. And Lyles goes to the box for
running. Yeah, he had another Huggy Bear fight. Curly Denver Sports, by the way. Jay Scott Moore, thanks for that tweet. Didn't give you credit last show. You got credit this time. all right, let's move on. Game number 15, yeah. Friday, November 12th, against the Columbus Blue Jackets in Columbus. The Avalanche score 5 more goals against Steve Mason, and they win 5-1. No Rick Nash for the Blue Jackets. Glad the Avalanche would take advantage of that, because without him, they're obviously not near as good. Kevin Porter on the first line with Paul Stastny and Chris Stewart. People freaked about this move, too, but can you please give the guy and Peter Budaj, give him like 3 or 4 games, and let's see it from there. But obviously, Sacco knows something and trusted him to do that, and he's looked fairly decent. Greg Maldon, his Avalanche debut, and also Ryan O'Byrne makes his Avalanche debut, with only 9 Avalanche missing this game. They're getting healthier. But the Avalanche Avalanche GM, Greg Sherman, says that this was not related to all the injuries. At first, I was like, right. But then I think about Kyle Quincy, 13 games with no points. And I think about Kyle Komiski, who's had some pretty bad giveaways. Think about Jonas Hollas, who was one of the first defensive call-ups, and he struggled a little bit as a rookie. So they went and got a veteran. He's 6'5", 234. He's laid some good hits. He's been beaten maybe once or twice during these games, but he's also laid some really, really good hits on people. And he's a big guy. He wears a big jersey, and maybe I'll just pick up one of his game-worn jerseys.
Well, and that was one of the things that Stoa was supposed to be, was the big guy that's supposed to, you know, knock the body around and all that. And so, you know, this is, I think there's just about everything is compared. Whenever you get over like 6'3", any move is going to be compared to Stoa. Right. And what it means about him.
That's right.
And you know, that's so maybe I'm reading too much into it, but you know, boy, why trade away to get somebody else when you know, when you got a guy that wouldn't that be a good place for him to be the big guy?
Yeah. I've liked what he's brought so far. He's a right-handed shot from the point. It's been a while since the Avalanche have had, I mean, Adam Foote's a big guy, but not, you know, Ryan O'Byrne size. And I honestly hadn't heard of him. The Avalanche only play the Canadiens once every year, once every other season. So you don't get to follow the Eastern Conference quite as closely. So far, a pretty good move. And
by the way, can I just interject? But, you know, I realized that O'Byrne is a defenseman and Stowe is a forward. I just wanted to make sure that was, you know, I get
cool.
That.
Cool. No, we got, no, I think I
just want to make sure.
When you bring up stuff like that, I think Martin Skoula.
You just roll.
Yeah, I think Martin Skoula, he's big. He didn't play a physical game and he drove people nuts with that.
You know, when I very, very briefly met Skoula, he didn't look that big. He just didn't look that big to me.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, but that was in Minnesota, so.
I think sometimes, so you see these guys with the pads on and everything. You don't. If football players, you meet them, you're like, dang, that guy's huge. But they're all huge. But on the hockey, you know, on the rink, everybody kind of looks about the same size. But
he just didn't look that big to me. But that was just, you know, that was me. Also, by the way, the Blue Jackets, you know, the previous game to this had scored 8 goals against the Blues.
That's a big deal.
2 or 3 nights before, they probably should have saved a couple of those.
They should have, because you can totally do that. I mean, they used up all their credit and
his cash, yeah. Man.
Man,
yeah. Will the real Steve Mason please stay?
Man,
I mean, this is not.
He's been tough.
This 5-29, and it has not been a very. I don't want to say that he's becoming Andrew Raycroft like, but you know, that first stunning season, and then it's all going to heck. And
he's especially struggled against the Avalanche. I was impressed with him, you know, obviously in his younger days, everybody was, but man. 10 goals in the last 2 games. Well, he gave up 4 of the 5 in the last game against the Blue Jackets, and then all 5 in this one. But
And then, you know, look at the Avs. They had no power play goals in this one. No power play goals in the 5-0 Stars win. Or Stars when they beat the Stars 5-0. But a shorthanded goal in each.
Interesting. Special teams, baby. Avalanche went down early in this one, 4:15 in the game. Antoine Vermette with his 3rd, but then they took over. Less than 2 minutes later, David Jones, his 5th, on the rebound. Great shot. And in the second period, just like James was saying, 10:57 in, Greg Maldon, his first NHL career goal as a shorthanded goal from David Jones. I don't know if anybody saw the highlights or I haven't checked the highlights, you know, so far, but Peter McNabb with like a spooky laugh after Greg Maldon's goal. He was excited for him. You could kind of hear him clapping. I was like, what is that noise? And it was him. I mean, he's excited for the kid. I get it. But and he's excited for the team, I'm sure, too, because who gets to score shorthanded goals for their first NHL goal? But he did. Philippe Dupuis is 2nd at 17:11. And then really late in the second period, 19:51, Stastny is 6th from Chris Stewart and Kevin Porter on a pretty pass. The Avalanche lead 4-1. And then David Jones, 17:52 in the third period, his 2nd of the game, 6th of the year from Milan Hayduk and Kevin Shattenkirk, his first NHL point on that one. And David Jones, I hadn't thought about this, but then when people start to mention it, you're like, wow, his 16th goal in his last 31 games played in the NHL. Those 31 games have been spread out over, what, eight NHL seasons?
It seems like it.
When he plays, he scores. You just got to keep him healthy. So hopefully he does. Peter Budaj, 28 saves in this one. Colby Cohen leaves the game early due to illness, not injury. But that's where he got his concussion, hitting his head on the toilet. Friday, November 12th, the Avalanche beat the Blue Jackets 5-1. And then last night, Saturday, November 13th, the Avalanche just overmatched at Detroit. They lose this one 3-1. Adam Foote returns the lineup, which is good. I always forget how much I dislike Todd Bertuzzi until he scores against the Avalanche. He scored a power play goal 12:58 in the first period. Yuri Hudler, 30 seconds into the second period. And Dan Cleary, his 2nd this season, 5:52 in the second period. If I'm shooting on Peter Budaj tape leg, I'm going high glove side. I see him get beat there a lot. Maybe that's why he's a backup. But small things I notice. And then John Michael Lyles, his first goal of the season, a 5-on-3 power play goal from Matt Duchene and Paul Stastny at 5:28. Mm-hmm. Avalanche pretty good in the third period. They showed up for one period at least, and they battled, outshot the Red Wings 9-2 in the third period. And, you know, they do. They don't give up. This team has not packed it in. I don't remember the last game they just straight packed it in. I'll give them a pass on the game against Calgary on the 9th just because of all the injuries. But something about the young leadership of this team, I don't know whether it's Stastny or maybe it's the old leadership, maybe it is Foot, but something about this team, they do not quit. And that's always fun to watch. So Saturday, November 13th, the Avalanche lose at the Red Wings 3-1. And that's all the games we've had since our last show. We're all caught up. We were going to maybe wait another week, but, man, that would have been a lot of hockey to cover. So, yeah, we'll give you actually, it's going to be long before our next show. Maybe we'll figure something out. But here's your standings. The Avalanche are 8-7-1, good for 15 points. I believe they're second place in the Northwest Division. They're scoring a ton of goals, and they're giving up a ton of goals as well. So that'll get you about middle of the pack pretty much. James, thoughts on the season so far? Anything exciting besides the concussion you're working through?
I can barely even remember my own name. You know, sometimes I feel like it's a very mediocre season so far, and at the same time, you know, there's been a lot of ups and a lot of downs. You know, but then again, we're looking at other teams. Look at Vancouver right now, who are you know, they're 10-4-1, which is great, but they're 8-1-1 in their last 10 games. Yeah. So it's not like, you know, they started out pretty slow. Yeah. And, you know, we're only 16 games in the season. I can swallow a loss or two a lot easier than, let's say, your average college football fan, where if you don't go perfect, you're not going to get that prime bowl, you know, placement.
Right.
So, but no, it's one of those things where you want to kind of make excuses a little bit in that, there are so many injuries and there are so many people that are out and so many numbers that you've never seen before. And you're going, who the heck is that? Why are, you know, but at the same time, this is a big test of the Avalanche depth, and it's happening early. It's happening quickly. And, we're really seeing what the Avalanche have built over the last couple of seasons. Cause a lot of these guys that we're seeing right now, they aren't guys that were drafted 5 years ago, 6 years ago. Yeah, so it's interesting to see who's coming up, who's going down, what the team is really made out of. Because, you know, what was it that we said at the very beginning of the season? We have no problems with, you know, we have 99 problems, but a third line isn't one of them. Well, until
there wasn't a third
line. That third line is injured.
There you go. You know? See, he's just, man, he's got it, guys. He's got it. He's on his game today. But yeah, that was one of your tweets. And third line's not a problem because we got
97 problems. Problems now, yeah. Or something, but you know, still, it's and nobody likes to swallow a loss to the Red Wings.
No,
you know, but they're a very good team. You know, they've always been a good team. You know, and they have a good goaltender in Jimmy Howard. It's
he's 9-1-1 now. That overtime loss was to the Avalanche, so he's only lost one other game besides the time the Avalanche beat him last time in the shootout with Brandon Yipp's goal.
That's insane.
He's done well. But the Avalanche definitely last night overmatched. I think with a healthy team, they can obviously give the Red Wings a better shot. But Peter Budaj, it wasn't his fault. He gave up a pretty soft goal to Dan Cleary, or no, to Yuri Hudler early in the second period. But I don't think John Graham or Craig Anderson would have made a huge difference in last night's game. They were just – it was just – at least for the first two periods, they just were overmatched. And
you know, you look at the people will say, you know, well, it was back to back games, back to back road games. You know, a third to a half of this team is, you know, direct call ups from the minors at this point. You know, or very young guys that aren't that far away from a minor league career. You know, that they could go back down, or they could, you know, they've been there already. Welcome to the minor leagues. That's what happens where you play a Friday, Saturday, Sunday game and all on the road, because that's how the minors operate.
And
most of the games are on the weekends, because that's when the people are coming. And otherwise, you know, you can't sell a Tuesday game in the minors like you can in the NHL.
That's true.
So if you aren't ready for back-to-back games, well, you know, that's tough because that's the way it is. That's hockey.
And it's and you mentioned the test that the Avalanche have been through. I think they passed that test. They're hanging on. They have every excuse in the book right now to just be like, well, too many injuries to do anything exciting, you know. But they're hanging in there. They're scoring a lot of goals still. They're getting a lot of I don't know, contribution from a lot of different places, and it's been fun to watch. I mean, if they had been packing it in and making excuses and kind of feeling sorry for themselves, it wouldn't be interesting to watch. And they have their moments, but for the most part,
they aren't the ones making the excuses.
No, they're not. And hockey players aren't ones to make excuses. And you know, Sacco and any hockey coach or player is never going to say that. And that's the fun part, right. You know. And it's been a good season so far. And sure, they have some guys out, but it's fun to watch the young guys come up and really work for the jobs. And for the most part, I've been impressed from what I've seen. So, people were excited about the Avalanche's future, and you can say that, you know, based on training camp and things like that. But when you see the guys at an NHL level, especially like a Greg Maldon who scores that goal, but he had some good hits and has played pretty well. You got to be excited, and it just shows that this team is hopefully a couple years away from being the team that you know lays it on the Detroit Red Wings, like the Red Wings did to the Avalanche last night. We all kind of miss those days, and hopefully they'll be back soon.
Now, if only we can develop a hockey helmet that has an airbag, and we'll be
the Avalanche's airbags would be out all the time. You could just see them flapping in the breeze. That'd be awesome. Let's get on that. all right, let's go over the upcoming games. I'll give you the next 10. I don't know if we'll have a show before this, but we'll figure it out. I'll explain why. Monday, November 15th, the Avalanche will play the Blues at 6 p.m. That's at Pepsi Center. Wednesday, November 17th, the Avalanche play the Sharks at 7. And Friday, November 19th, the Avalanche play the Rangers at 7. All three of those are at Pepsi Center. I'll be there next Wednesday and Friday, so that'll be fun. Saturday, November 20th, the Avalanche hit the road for the next three. November 20th, at the Stars at 6 p.m. Mountain, Wednesday, November 24th at 8 p.m. Mountain against the Canucks, and Thursday, November 25th, 7 p.m. Mountain against the Oilers. Saturday, November 27th, the Avalanche play the Wild back at Pepsi Center, 7 p.m. puck drop. And Tuesday, November 30th against the Thrashers, 8 p.m. puck drop. Ooh, that's at Pepsi Center too, late start. And then Friday, December 3rd, the Avalanche start, I believe it's, you know, their annual Eastern Conference road trip. I think they played five in a row. I'll be at Carolina at the RBC Center when the Avalanche play the Lightning at 7 p.m. Mountain. That's December 3rd. I'm really excited about that. I've been there before, very loud, trying to figure out what jersey to wear. So maybe I'll throw that by you on my podcast page on Facebook. Saturday, December 4th at the Lightning, 5:30 Mountain Time start on that one. And there's your next 10 games. I believe we might do a show after that. So it's going to be a little while. We'll have a lot of games to cover, but that'll be fun. So, there we go. I'll have all kinds of updates for you from Carolina on December 3rd. Maybe I should take some more pictures too. Always fun watching the Avalanche in an opposing building. Not a lot of people get to do that. So I have a good friend that lives out there and excited about that. So, James, are you ready for the outros? Because you are the outro guy. So
I'm the outro
James,
guy.
Ladies and gentlemen, James Tapley Graylian coming at you with everywhere you can find us on the internet. Go for it.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Avs Hockey Podcast. And you can find the Avs Hockey Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. There's a link there to subscribe to the show in iTunes, as well as links to Jay's fan page on Facebook, where he talks a lot more about the Avalanche on a day-to-day basis. And you can come hang out and chat with other Avalanche fans. And, of course, you can find him on Twitter at AVSHKYpodcast, all one word. That's Twitter for you. That's what they do. Other than that, that's about it, actually. And you can also check out some more of Jay's jerseys because he's been posting a ton of them. Just put up a couple of All-Star jerseys that are pretty sweet on the Avs Hockey Podcast page. Again, that's www.avshockeypodcast.com.
Sweet. What about you,
Jay? I don't do anything. You can find me on Twitter at Tapeleg, TAPELEG, keeping it short and sweet. My blog, which needs updating badly, is jerseysandhockeylove.com. And, of course, I have the Rink Podcast, www.rinkpodcast.com, which will be a lot easier for me to put out episodes when I get better internet.
Yeah, you guys, I don't think we've made this clear. James is in Chicago right now, and I'm in Denver. We do this all over the internet, so we've had our issues. We're working on it, and for the most part, it's pretty cool what we're doing here. James and all his tools and all the stuff he's taught me and we've worked on together, it makes it sound like we're sitting here together. We're doing all this over Skype, so it's fun. It makes it even cooler. I mean, when James is back in town, back at home, we get together whenever we can and we do a show. But we've made this happen all over the internet. So James is the man. We've had some fun with it, and Chipotle is our meal. So yeah, maybe they'll provide us with a meal or two because we just plugged them.
I doubt that.
Oh, that's funny. And James and I are also throwing around the idea of having a podcast strictly about jerseys. I think, you know, obviously I've made it very clear as far as what I do with my jerseys, and I post whenever I can. And if you want to know more about Avalanche jerseys and see some of the things that are in my collection and the stories behind them, go to my site, James has said. But James has a ton of jerseys as well, and we're going to try and gather some feedback and try and make it as interactive as possible as far as making a podcast strictly about jerseys, you know, where to find them, how to take care of them, you know, how to wash them, the difference between what you might find on the in a retail store and what the guys wear on the ice, and really anywhere in between. So we had a lot of good feedback from a lot of people on the podcast page about us doing that. So we're going to continue to kind of plan that out and decide what we want to put into it, and then we're going to put that together for you. So stay tuned for that. We don't have really a timeline on that yet. We want to do it when James is in town. That'll take a lot of the small stuff out of the picture so we can worry about the big stuff. But I'm excited about that. And I know James is too, because he loves jerseys as much as I do. So, yeah.
Throw out your shout outs, my friend.
I don't really have any shout outs this time.
You don't have any shout outs?
Well, I do have one. Mick Samantle. I hope I'm saying your name right, Mick. We've met over some of the forums that I'm a member of as far as jerseys, but your jersey will be ready soon, sir. I dropped off some stuff at Denver Athletic, and yeah, if you guys need your jerseys done, go to Denver Athletic for Avalanche jerseys. We'll talk about that in the podcast, but they're the same place that does the Avalanche jerseys on the ice, so you obviously know they're going to be done right. But Mick is a brand new fan on the page, and I just want to say hi to him. And, you know, your jersey will be ready soon, and I'll get it to you as soon as I can. But thanks for listening. Thanks for joining the podcast page on Facebook, and we'll see you around, man. So that's it, James. James, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. Appreciate your time. And that's it for episode number 58 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. You're home for almost everything Avalanche. We're going to give this one to the Sheriff. It's the Scott Parker edition of the show. We'll be back probably within about 3 or 4 weeks. It might be after my trip to Carolina, but we'll come right back at you. We'll cover almost everything Avalanche and a lot of other stuff in between. Hopefully there's not a lot of concussions between now and then, but
I'm going to go take some ibuprofen.
I don't know if that's going to help. You're not in charge of your health anymore, sir. Until then, everybody, please take care. Let's go, Avs. And we will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.